Praise the Lord. Hey, you know, I've been speaking about our new spiritual realities. Actually, I started this because with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, everything became new, right? I talked about a new day. I talked about all things are new. Today, I want to speak to you on enjoying a new life. You know, some people have gotten born again, but they haven't entered into the life of God that they need through Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's because they don't know what the Word of God says about who they are in Christ and what they have in Christ and what they can do because of Christ. You know, the Word of God said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And then sometimes it's because they haven't taken control of their own thought lives and begin to think in line with God's Word instead of thinking in line with the world. And then sometimes it's listening to the wrong people telling you that that was all done away with. You know, God wants us to enjoy our life down here with Him on earth. You know, I want to read John 10:10 from the Amplified Version, and this is the classic edition. I know they got several editions of the Amplified, but this is the classic one. The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Now, according to Barnes in his Bible Notes on the Bible, Albert Barnes, the word abundance denotes that which is absolutely essential to life, that which is not absolutely essential to life, excuse me, but which is super added to make life happy. They shall not merely have life, simply barely existence, but they shall have all those super added things which are needful to make life blessed and happy. See, he says you have life and have it more to the abundance. That's super added till you have a life that's way above anything you could ask or think. It clearly states here that God wants us to enjoy our new life in Christ. Enjoy a life without sin and because of the blood of Jesus. Enjoy a life of peace with God through Christ. Enjoy life knowing that we're the righteousness of God in Christ. You know, enjoy a new life as a new person in Christ. In Christ, you're a new person. The old person doesn't exist anymore. You know, in Kaufman's commentary on the Bible, James Kaufman, he said, the Christian life is the happy life. Free, abundant, overflowing, adventurous, exciting, beyond any other kind of existence. How many of you found that to be so? You know, people have different thoughts about how you're supposed to walk with God. Now, some people think you're always supposed to be somber and serious and never have any fun. That's not true. In Proverbs, it says, laughter does good. Doesn't it? Huh? And then some people think you're supposed to go through life with the sole of your shoes wore out, seat of your britches thin, living on barely get along street right next to Grumble Alley. But that's not what God tells us. He tells us that He wants to provide for us. He wants us to have more than enough. I mean, you go look at his man Abraham, what he did for him. And then in Galatians, it tells us because of Christ, through Christ, we can have this new life and the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. That's us. Galatians 3, 13, 14, read it. Hello. Now, we need, you know, some people think, well, we just barely, just thank God you can make it down here when we all get to heaven. Well, when we all get to heaven, it's going to be great. But God give us a little bit of heaven to go to heaven in. We don't have to be down and out and dragging around. We can have a new life. Amen. You know, I read this the other day in one of the other messages, but Malachi 4:2 says, "But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stalled calves." Now, in this verse, Malachi is talking about when Christ came from the grave, he brought new life. He arose. And when he arose from the grave, it opened up a whole new life for mankind. Because what Jesus did on the cross and then his resurrection, Jesus has given to us everything that the Word of God says belongs to the Christian. No longer does it have to be a long, dark night in captivity and poverty and sickness and sin, but he brought new possibilities to us. He brought us new standing with God. See, we were outcast. We were annihilated from God because of what Adam did in the Garden of Eden. But now we have new blessing because of him. We have new privileges and new benefits because of Jesus Christ. You know, we have a new life with all the new spiritual realities. I teach it all the time. One of the most important things you can learn is after you get born again, you need faith, all right, because you can't be saved even without faith. But you need to learn who you are in Christ, what you can do in Christ, what you can have in Christ, because that's where the real reality of enjoying the Christian life is, in Christ, scriptures. And most of them you find in Paul's writings as he was instructing his churches that he established. You know, Malachi says they'll grow fat like stalled calves. You know, Jesus arose from the grave and opened the gate. You know, you can have a calf in a stall and for a long time, and you open the gate, and some of them will just go running out and jumping and everything, but some of them will be reluctant. They'll hold back because this is something new. You have to encourage them. You know, I do know this because I've seen it and worked with it. I do know that if you've got a bunch of cattle and they're used to going through the gate here, you close that gate and you move it over 6 feet, they will go to where the fence is and now where the gate used to be. You have to get them over to the new gate. You know, sometimes Christians are like that. They're still standing at the old gate when the new gate is opened and they can go through to the new life. You know, now some people have a hard time believing that God is really offering them everything that he says in this word right here. He's offering them prosperity. He's offering them a good life. Come on now. Now some of them, they don't want to go out there because they don't know what's out there. But there's nothing more exciting in the new life than to walk out and follow God. He never gives you over one or two steps light for one or two steps at a time. If he showed you the whole picture of whatever, what you're going to have to go through to get to where he's leading you, you would never go. But he expects you by faith to believe him and just take it one step at a time as you walk out the new life, and you'll find out it's an exciting life. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Have you found out yet that life with God is an exciting life?" It's a new day. It's a new life that has been opened up to us because of what Jesus did with on the cross and with his resurrection. See, God wants us to learn how to walk in this new life. Now, Romans 6:4 in the Voice translation, it reads, it reads differently than some of the others do, but it reads, therefore, we are buried with him through this baptism into death, so that just as God the Father in all the glory resurrected the anointed one, we also might walk confidently out of the grave into new life. What have we been talking about? New life. And it says here that we, because of the resurrected one, we also can walk confidently out of the grave of sin and destruction and all the other stuff that went with it, into the new life. This verse indicates just as Christ rose from the dead with new life, we are buried with him and we arise with new life. See, that's how God sees us. He sees us through Jesus Christ, through his death, burial, and resurrection. You know, actually, when you go into water baptism, that's nothing more than an outward act of something that's already happened on the inside, the spirit man. When the physical man goes under that water and he's raised up out of that water, you're saying, I have already been raised on the inside to a new person, but now I'm showing it from the outside, and you're being raised to a new life in Christ. The old life is gone. The new life comes into existence. The old shame is gone. The old guilt is gone. The unworthy feeling of unworthiness is gone, because God never made an unworthy person. You are worthy in Christ Jesus. Not in yourself, but in Christ, you're worthy. It says that we are worthy to come boldly to the throne of grace in Christ. Hey, separation from God is gone. You see, when man sinned in the Garden of Eden, we were separated from God. But Jesus, with his death, burial, and resurrection, he reunited us with God in the spirit realm. Hallelujah. And one of these days, we'll be reunited when he comes again. You know, one of the things that we have become new on the inside. But to become in the new life and live the new life, you have to renew your mind with the Word of God. You see, God takes care of the spirit man on the inside. You got to take care of this natural man on the outside. It says that you have to renew your mind so that you will think the thoughts in line with God's Word. So that you can reject all of those thoughts that the devil will bring to you. Oh, you know, you're unworthy. I mean, you're just lucky that you're saved. Hey, you're not unworthy. The Bible says you have become the righteousness of God in Christ. That live that new life in Christ. You know, we got to refuse to think those doubts, those thoughts of doubt and unbelief, and think in line with the Word of God that says, if you believe, all things are possible to him that believes. You know, Paul describes a process of putting off the old man and putting on the new man. Now, the old putting off and putting on can be like putting on a coat or a shirt. You know, you take it off, and you put a new shirt on. Hello. Us guys, we'll go home and, you know, we will take this shirt off, get it ready to be cleaned or washed, and we'll get a new shirt to wear out of the closet. Well, it may not be new, but it's new. It's newly laundered, let's put it that way. And then you may have, I got a couple of new ones this time down in Texas. We were down in Kennedy, Texas, and Cameron's birthday was yesterday. He was 24 yesterday. And he wanted some boots, and we went to the Western shop and got him some boots and a shirt as his birthday. And they had a couple of shirts there I like, so I got them, and they're at home. Hadn't worn them yet, so they got, in fact, I might get to wear one tomorrow maybe. I don't know. Anyway, I'll put it on. I want you to get the idea, taking off and putting on. And it look, Ephesians 4:20. Go read Ephesians 4:20. And if you have your iPad or your phone there with you, I'm gonna read this instead of reading it out of the King James, New King James. It reads a little easier and is a little better understood from the NLT version, the New Living Translation. But this isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you've heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes and put on the new nature created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Hallelujah. You know, I like to say it like this. Put off and put on. The old man means that you throw him away. He's been done away with. When you were created a new person in Christ Jesus, the old man doesn't exist anymore. Put on that new man and begin to live the new life in Christ. The good life, the abundant life. You know, it's one thing to have life, but it's another thing to have the abundant life. I call it the more than enough life. God's got more than enough. You know, I go to my grandma all the time. You used to go to grandma's and the food start running out on the table. People would be very scarce to taking a helping. And she said, take it all. There's more where that came from. She meant she had a whole much more in the kitchen. Hey. How many of y'all remember going to grandma's house? And she always had more than enough food for everybody. Amen. There was always plenty. You know, we'd have breakfast and we'd go outside and start playing around. And you get hungry, you know, about 10 o'clock or so. And you go in there and on the table still there was biscuits and sausage. And you just open one of them biscuits, throw a sausage patty in it, go back outside. McDonald's weren't the first one to have sausage and biscuit. My grandma had sausage and biscuit a long time ago. How many of yours did too? Yeah. You know, it didn't say that it would be easy in this life, but it's God said that you can have a new life with a renewed mind, with the things of God, and it's done by taking control of your mind and making yourself walk and think in line with God's word. Instead of, you know, if something happens, calamity, whatever happens, you know, the world starts wringing their hands. Oh my God, what are we going to do? But we that know Christ and walking in the new life say, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Just another chance to prove that God's word works. See, one is a pessimistic down attitude. The other one is a positive attitude, knowing that you're going to come out on top, even though you're going through. Remember, it said, whatever you're going through, you're going through. There's an old song. Mike Perkey sings that song. In fact, I just listened to it this morning when I was getting ready, going over my notes again. I was listening to it. He said, old Perky, I like to hear old Perky sing. I mean, I like that country gospel that, you know, and he is singing, whatever you're going through, you're going through. Amen. Hello. Amen. Amen. The reason I knew Johnny was in town, I was down there getting ready for my healing service, and I was listening to my music, because that's what I do. I meditate in the afternoon, listen to my music, read the word, and listen to music and meditate. Sometimes just sit there and listen to music, meditate. And his album was on, and He's got a whole bunch of good songs on there, Holy Ground. But the one I like, really like, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind, and I was listening to that. And so I just picked up the phone and texted him, said, guess who I'm listening to? He texted me back, and he said, I just landed in Tulsa. So I said, well, if you don't have any place to preach tomorrow, because he told me what he was going to do, I said, why don't you just come and be with me? And if we'd have had time to get a sound check and everything, because you just don't do it off the cuff, it don't work. If we'd have had time to get the sound check with some soundtracks, I'd have let him sing one of them songs for you. But maybe next time we'll let Johnny sing for us. And he also is a really good saxophone player too. You know, if we're going to enjoy this new life, say it, new life.
New life.
If you're going to enjoy the new life that we've been given, you have to take control and do it. God has already done all he's going to do about you having this new life. He already said so in the Word of God. You're the one that's going to get in the Word, find out what the Word says about who you are in Christ and what you can do because you're in Christ, and then you're going to live the new life. Not just life, the abundant life. That's what he said. I want you to have life and have it more abundantly. It means super added stuff. Glory to God. You know, let me begin to wind this down a little bit. You know, years ago, there's a man. He wanted to travel from Europe to America. He worked hard and saved every penny he could. And finally, he got just enough money to buy him a ticket for the ship. And it, you know, it took some time back then, because this happened several years ago, to cross the ocean, the Atlantic. And so he bought a suitcase full of cheese and crackers so he'd have something to eat on the journey. Well, he would see all the other passengers going to the dining room and eating really good meals, but he quietly ate his cheese and crackers. And this went on day after day after day. And he heard the other people talking about the pastors talking about the meal and how good it was. And he really would have loved to join them in the dining room, but he didn't have any extra money. All the money he had went to buy that ticket. Toward the end of the trip, one of the other pastors came up to him and said, man, I noticed that you always eat cheese and crackers at mealtime. Why don't you ever come to the banquet hall and eat with us? And the traveler, with embarrassment and his face flushed, he said, I only had enough money to buy the ticket. I don't have any extra money to buy meals. The other pastor sort of looked at him sort of funny and raised his eyebrows at him and said, man, didn't you know that your meals were included in the price of that ticket? Your meals have already been paid for. This story reminds me of the fact that on the cross, Jesus Christ paid the price. It's already been paid. We don't have to work for it. All we got to do is believe God and accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The moment you made him your Lord and Savior, all of the benefits. And this story reminds me of some Christians. They become born again, but that's all that ever happens. They never enjoy any of the benefits of living the Christian life because they've never taken time to find out who they are in Christ. See, by renewing your mind with the Word, you don't have to settle for the cheese and crackers. You can eat at the banquet table. God's Word is a table full of wonderful, precious promises that we can partake of whenever we want. You know, there's a story in the Old Testament in 2 Samuel. David, after he became king, he asked, is there any of King Saul's household left? Now, if you'll study history, back in those days when a new king came in, he did away with everything in the previous king's family. He confiscated all of their properties and so forth. And Ziba said to the king, he said, there is Saul's grandson, Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son. Well, that sparked David right there, because David and Jonathan were great friends, like Johnny and I are. And they had a covenant with each other. And he said, hey, bring him here. Mephibosheth said, well, he's injured and he can't walk very well. He's got a problem. The king said, bring him anyway. And then he told Ziba, the servant, he said, I'm restoring all of Saul's property to him. And then Saul's son had a son. He's going to live there on the property. You're going to take care of him and take care of the property. But Mephibosheth is going to sit at the king's table. He's going to eat from the king's table because of the covenant that he had with his father, Jonathan. Hey, we have a covenant with God through Jesus Christ that shed his blood on Calvary, and we can live the new life. You see, Mephibosheth had to have an invitation to come to the king's table. He had to have knowledge that David wanted him there. And he had to have faith that what they were telling him, what this servant was telling him, is exactly what David wanted. You know, this is a picture of us. We can come to God's table of promises right here in the Word of God. We have been invited to come and enjoy them through the blood that was shed on Calvary by Jesus Christ. We've been given the knowledge of all of the promises of God through reading the Word. And now we can exercise our faith based on what the Word of God tells us and begin to enjoy living the new life because of Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. It's a new day, it's a new life, and it's up to you to find it and to enjoy it. Let me close with this. It's time to step up into all the promises of God. Jesus Christ made a new life for you, so don't hang back, don't hold back, don't do without, because when you step into the promises of God, you can begin to enjoy everything that God has provided for you. It doesn't make any difference. Healing, prosperity, protection, all of those promises become yours. So enjoy the new life. I know many of you are, but you needed a reminder. And the Apostle Peter said as long as he was in his body, he was going to remind his constituents. As long as I'm pastor here, I'm going to keep reminding you of these things. And now some of you are new to all this. So this is helping you to realize that, hey, you have a good new life that you can live in Christ. Hallelujah. Anybody get anything out of that this morning? Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Bow your heads for just a moment. I never like to have a service that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus or somebody to rededicate their life to God. Because, you know, a lot of people, they had faith when they were younger. They knew God. But now they're just not where they're supposed to be with God. They need to rededicate their life. Or you might be in this place and say, yeah, I know Christ as my Savior, but I have never experienced being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not talking about church creed or doctrine. I'm talking about what the Bible says. The Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And you'd say, I would like to receive that experience. If you need Christ, you need to rededicate your life. You want to receive the Holy Spirit. Let me see your hand anywhere, upstairs, downstairs, anywhere in the room. I want to pray with you. There's a hand over there. I see that hand. You can put it down. Thank you. Are the others? Are the others that would raise their hand upstairs, downstairs, anywhere? Thank you, Lord. Praise God. You need Christ. You need to rededicate your life. You want to receive the Holy Spirit. This is your day to start this new life that I'm talking about. This is part of the new life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ray, stand up, everybody, please. I know I saw one hand. I think maybe two. I'm not sure. But let me say this. If you raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, should have raised your hand, I'm going down front right here. I want to shake hands with you and pray with you like I said. So come on. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hands, come on. Come on right now. You might want to ask somebody next to you. If you need to go down there, I'll go with you.
Forgiveness.
Hallelujah.
Was bought with the precious.
Amen. God bless you, buddy. Just stand right here for just a moment. Wait for somebody else to come. Hallelujah to Jesus. Come on. Anybody else want to come join this young man? Don't stand there, back there. He was brave enough to step out. He's going to change his life. He's going to get a new life. Hallelujah to Jesus. Anybody else want to come? Come on now. We're going to wait just a moment. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Reach your hands out. I pray with him, Heavenly Father. I thank you for this young man. I thank you for his life that will be changed today, and he'll never be the same again. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to go to a special place of prayer where you can be prayed with individually and in depth. I'm going to give you some books and stuff. The place where you're going to pray, it's on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, it becomes a classroom called Turning Point. You say, what in the world is that? Mm-hmm. Well, it's just a classroom that for a few classes to get your life turned on to God or back on to God. That's all what it is. I'd like to see you in there next Sunday. See Greg right over there? Would you go to that place of prayer with him right there and get three books we're going to give you? Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Amen and amen.